Good morning. Okay, let's try that again. Good morning. Oh, you are awake, and it is good to be with you this morning. We are glad to be in this place where God is present among us. I'd like to draw your attention to some things in the bulletin insert. We are gearing up for our annual Habitat for Humanity build, and we need your help. You don't need any prior building experience, but we would love to have you help with our build this year. You can sign up in Reed Hall following our service. We're also gearing up for Trunk or Treat, which will happen toward the end of October, and we would love your help with our Trunk or Treat this year. You can also sign up for that in Reed Hall following our service. Next week, we will begin our West End 101 class. This is a four-week class that is geared to folks who are visiting or new to our community, or maybe you've been here for a while, but you just want to get more connected and learn more about our congregation. We would love to have you. The class meets in McWhorter Hall, which is directly below the sanctuary at 9:45. It will begin next Sunday and run for 4 weeks. You don't have to come to every class. It's very drop-in friendly. So come for as many of the classes as you can. We would love to have you. Now I'd like to introduce our interns, or maybe just one. I don't know if Kaitlyn made it back. This is Anita Peebles. She is a third-year Master of Divinity student at Vanderbilt Divinity School, and she's going to be helping me this year in congregational care. She's originally from Michigan, and she's pursuing ordination through Glendale Baptist Church and the Alliance of Baptists, and we are really glad to have you, Anita. She probably didn't make it back down from the youth yet, but Kaylee Rhodes is our youth intern this year. She is a first-year Master of Divinity student at Vanderbilt Divinity School. She's married to Hunter Rhodes, who is also a first-year student at the Divinity School, and she's originally from Memphis. She'll be working with Emily Robbins in our youth department, so we are glad to have both of you. Thank you. Finally, I want to introduce our preacher. She's not going to come up here, but you'll see her in a little bit. Our preacher this morning is Krista Blackshear. She is a former intern, but she is also a member of our congregation. She recently graduated from Vanderbilt Divinity School, and she's currently doing a year of clinical pastoral education with Alive Hospice as a chaplain. So we want to welcome Krista Blackshear this morning, who will bring the word to us. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Save your own heart and give us, Savior of our great loss and spread thy table in our We come like Abraham, Sarah, and John the Baptist. We come like Job, Thomas, and the Samaritan woman. We come like Moses, Jeremiah, and Mary. We come like Joshua, Deborah, and Stephen. We come like David, Mary Magdalene, and Paul. We come like Hagar, Uriah, and the Syro-Phoenician woman. We come like Rebecca and Samuel, like Hosea and Esther, like Nathaniel and Martha, like John, Mark, and Priscilla. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Jesus, who sat at the table with outcasts and sinners, we confess that too often our words and actions are not consistent with our beliefs. Often we ignore the needy, show indifference to the lonely, and reject those who seem different from us. Forgive us, we pray. Empower us to reach out in love and acceptance. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the New Testament. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then each of us will be accountable to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Morning. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Family, there's nothing like it. This past summer, my mom and I took a cross-country road trip. She wanted to go and see Mount Rushmore. And after traveling to Ohio to pick her up, she and I embarked on our grand trip. Excitement was in the air, and the conversations were loaded with pleasantries. Day one, we've not argued once. This is going to be great, I thought. But then I started feeling agitated. Every time Mom turned the page of her book or she reached for something, she made this blowing sound. Does Mom have emphysema? She's never said anything before. No, I thought. She's not exerting any kind of energy, and so she shouldn't be out of breath. Why are you blowing like a whale? The longer I drove, the more agitated I became, until finally I shouted, "Why are you doing that?" "I'm not," she said, as she rolled her eyes at me. "Yes, you are." Silence ensued. Not even the wind passing past the windows made a sound. Our joy was lost, and we had become disconnected. She pulled her Netflix show up, put her headphones on, and for the next several hours, crickets. We made it to our bed and breakfast, where I was able to sneak off and get some me time. As I drove along the road, all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I witnessed the most beautiful scenery that I had ever seen. I stumbled upon the Garden of God. Out of the earth came these big, beautiful red rock formations, assembled in sporadic formations, piercing the sky. Oh my, look! Mom wasn't there. She wasn't there to witness the beauty with me. My heart sank. Doggone it. How selfish could I have been? Families can be so irritating, but when they're not around you, you miss them. Families are the only people who know how to care for you and can love you as you need to be loved. And yet they can upset you so deeply that sometimes it hurts to even be around them. Family is that organism which affirms our personhood. It affirms us and offers us that nurturing when the world treats us unfairly. When the workday is difficult or school is challenging, it's comfortable to come home to family because that's where you're going to get your hope. When we affirm people, we demonstrate to them they matter. We affirm one another when we share our joys and sorrows and encourage each other to be the best that we could be. In family, we guide each other like a ship's captain guiding his vessel through the stormy seas. When the ship strays off course and the crew becomes frightened, the captain, like family, help redirect our paths and steering us in the right direction. When people feel wanted and valued, they go out into the world sharing that same positive outlook, imbuing that same confidence onto those around them. But sometimes as we grow and experience the world, our ideas and our experiences and opinions may deviate from others in the family. And that can be really unsettling. I'm reminded of a time in divinity school where several of my classmates voiced their concern about returning home for the holidays. They knew when they gathered with their families there was potential for conflict. Perhaps their opinions no longer matched that of their families. And as a result of differing opinions, feelings could possibly be hurt. Sides could be taken, and loyalty to the family lost. There was a chance they'd no longer feel comfortable returning home to that unit which loved them into being. Many of my classmates understood the significance of being in family and brainstormed about how they could address the family without losing their connection. We role-played and came up with strategies to redirect conversations, and some of them even chose not to go home. But in the end, they all still loved and cherished each of their family members despite their different ideologies. I've heard families compared to branches on a tree. They grow in different directions, yet their roots remain as one. We are all related to each other and are in relationship with each other. As some of us have left our families of origin because of a job or college, we've encountered others who perhaps been taught different than us. They may embrace different values than us and resolve issues or manage stress different than we do. Or maybe they value traditions which aren't important to us. And because of those differences, we make a judgment. And in that instance, we make a distinction between them and us. In the field of psychology, they use the term cognitive dissonance, or the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes about another. In making those distinctions, we almost always eliminate the possibility of ever being in relationship. It happens just that fast. Now, from my perspective, there are several choices that you can make in this moment. You can choose to find common ground with the other and recognize there are things we do have in common and move forward in being connected. We can choose to recognize the distinctions and forego an opportunity to be in relationship, or we can choose to continue to see the other as conflicting with our values and beliefs, totally dismissing their humanity. Regardless of your choice, as a member in the body of Christ, we are a family. This is what I think the Apostle Paul is doing in this passage this morning. He is addressing his church family, those individuals who become followers of Jesus Christ. As the once exiled Jewish Christians returned to Rome, their habits and traditions differed from their cohorts. As a result of these differences, a disagreement between the two sects erupted. Tensions in the family rose because the two sides could not see eye to eye. One side felt the other was weak, while the other despised their counterparts for making them feel unworthy. Confined in their own ways of understanding God's new covenant, the two sects found themselves estranged from the other. Distraught over the bickering and name-calling, Paul intervened and laid out the rules governing how Christ followers were to function as a family. Paul came to understand the significance of belonging and worked to restore the divided family. Having converted to Christianity, he knew his church family could not sustain itself without a loving connection. Paul knew life without love meant isolation, loathing, and perhaps even hatred. But he also knew God had a bigger plan. Imagine yourself in this position. The pain is unbearable, so you begin to search out those things that you think will resolve your pain, but nothing you do helps. Your behaviors change, the joy you once experienced has vanished, and there's constant internal turmoil. I've been there, and it ain't no fun. The hurt of remembering those things that separated you from God is like a searing burn in your gut that constantly reminds you of your shortcomings. Nothing Paul did could douse the burning pain he felt from being disconnected. He'd suffered blindness, was made to depend on others, and he'd experienced weakness. How frightening could that possibly be of a man with such stature? But here's the good news. God was gracious. God was gracious to Paul by restoring his connection to something bigger than he could have ever imagined. God led Paul to a fulfilling connection that redirected his path and gave him something to look forward to. And joined with a new, renewed purpose, Paul's yearning had been satisfied with his connection with the love of Jesus Christ. Feeling affirmed and renewed, Paul worked relentlessly to spread the good news of love. No longer blind, nor feeling remorseful for his past transgressions, Paul went out into the world spreading hope of God's love. A love that said, "Don't worry, I got your back." It is because we have accepted Jesus Christ as the head of our lives. We are in relationship. We are a family because we said yes to Jesus Christ. We are justified or accepted into the body of Christ. And each time we affirm our faith, we pledge to believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We pledge to trust in God, to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be the salt of the earth, something that is cherished and preserved. As members of the body of Christ, we've promised to live in love rather than fear, never forsaking one another nor denigrating the other. Now, because we said yes to Jesus Christ doesn't always mean we're going to agree on family matters. In fact, there's bound to be times when we disagree, but no matter what, we are connected. In such a case where disagreements occur, we need to extend grace to others, just as Christ extended grace to us. Now, I know that's not the easiest thing to do, but there are things you can do to change that situation. As an example, there's a person ahead of you who's slowing traffic because they're too busy texting and driving. I found myself becoming so upset that all of a sudden these expletives are coming out of my mouth. And I'm like, oh my God, where'd that come from? I've gotten so angry that I find myself trembling. But then I realized my anger really wasn't anger, it was fear for the other. So instead of shouting expletives, I've learned to pray that they make it home safely. You should try it. No judgment, just mercy. In verse 7 of Romans, we hear Paul explain to his family why we must behave differently. He explains, as a family, our cares and concerns shouldn't be directed upon ourselves, but on others. And what I think Paul is alluding here is this: everything we do in the name of love, not in relationships to ourselves, but in relationship to the family of God. God has welcomed us all into God's family, and we are to do the same. In 1979, a vocal group called Sister Sledge sang a song composed by Bernard Edwards and Niles Rogers titled, "We Are Family." This song became the number one R&B song of the day. It was the anthem, which many of us sang to remind ourselves of why we were here. The song was re-recorded in 2001 after the traumatic events of September 11th, 2001. Rogers, the composer, understood the nation needed to be inspired. Sadness and despair had stolen our joy and left us feeling afraid and alone. He sensed there was a need to recreate a spirit of unity, cohesion, and self-worth among the people. Today, when differences of opinions have divided the family, we need to remember we live for God. God is concerned about our well-being and wants us to know we are connected to something bigger and greater than we could ever imagine. That something is the love of Jesus Christ, which we as members of the family are part of. In our connectedness, we are love and encouragement for one another. And we offer reassurance that in God, all things will work out for the good. Change will come, opinions will differ, and uncertainty will arise. But as we look up and see the beauty surrounding us, remember, God is with us. We are not alone. We live in God's world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We welcome all who gather for worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you're here with us, and we hope that you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right, to my left, this way. Our Angie ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex, which is at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can locate them by their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussion following the worship service. They will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer request there, indicating if they are to be shared or are to be kept confidential, and you can put the card in the offering plate when they are passed in a few moments. If you haven't already done so, please take a moment to record your attendance by signing the attendance pad that you'll find near the center aisle at the end of each pew. As you pass the pad back down the pew, please note with who you're sitting, and if you don't know someone, please be sure to greet them following the worship service. We do have a few prayer concerns we want to share. First of all, we do want to keep in prayer all those who have been affected by the tropical storm, Hurricane Harvey. If you'd like to make a contribution through West End, you can just make your check payable to the church and put Harvey on the foreline. You also find the UMCOR advance number listed in your bulletin insert. Flood buckets, if you want to do a flood bucket, you can take them to Calvary United Methodist Church or the conference office by Monday, September 11th. And you will receive an email with more information about all this early this week. We offer prayers for the family and friends of Melissa Penry Williams, who passed away on Tuesday, August 29th in Litchfield, Kentucky. Her memorial service was September 2nd at Broadway United Methodist Church in Paducah, Kentucky. We also offer prayers for the family and friends of Jim Hume, who passed away yesterday morning. A graveside service will be held tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Mount Olivet Cemetery. I also want you to know that today's altar flowers are given to the glory of God and to bless the memory of Mr. and Mrs. Matthew Hughes Dobson III and Mr. and Mrs. Harry Wortham Smith and Matthew Hughes Dobson IV by their family. We have received gifts too numerous to count. Now is a chance for us to give in thanks and joy.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, the bread of life, broken and given in love for you and for me. This is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, poured out for you and for me, that we might know the forgiveness of our sins. In our Methodist tradition, this is an open table. It is hosted by Christ. No matter who you are, where you've come from, what you've done or haven't done, who you love, or whether or not you've been baptized, you are welcome here. We invite you to come and partake of this holy meal. Please note the directions that are printed in your bulletin insert. Those in the choir will be served first, followed by those in the balcony, and then the transepts, and finally those in the nave will be invited to come forward. When you come forward to the communion rail, please hold out your hand to receive the elements and stay as long as you wish afterward in prayer. If you would like to receive the elements in your pew, please let one of the ushers know by raising your hand when the choir comes forward, and we will come and serve you. A gluten and dairy-free option is available in the west transept side. Please go to that side and indicate to your server that you would prefer that option, and they will be glad to serve you. This month's communion offering will benefit West End's prison ministries. Many members of our West End United Methodist Church community serve alongside ministries that serve incarcerated individuals, both during and after the time of incarceration. This past year, these funds were used to purchase shampoo for Christmas gift bags for the men at Riverbend Maximum Security Prison, and also rain ponchos for Christmas bags at the Tennessee Prison for Women. We've also helped several incarcerated individuals with toiletries and stamps, and we helped a recently released individual with rent in a halfway home. So please give generously. The offering plates are near the front pew. The table is set. You are invited. Please come and partake. recipients of the gifts of God, let us pray together. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Friends, may we go forth this week remembering that we are all family and we are united by our loving God. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen.